Here's a story, probably one of the most familiar stories from the gospel. One that you've heard lots and lots of times, and yet often we miss where the table, where the meal, where the party is in this all-familiar story from Luke's gospel. Here's a story otherwise known as the prodigal son. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that belongs to me.' So he divided the property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled off to a distant country, to a faraway land, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He would have gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, or as another version of it says, when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your child. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still a far way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quickly, bring a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let's eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he was found.' And they began to celebrate." Will you pray with me? Gracious God, I simply ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be measured and found acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Familiar story. I know you've heard it lots and lots of times. There's a story about that story, about a preacher who was preaching that story one Sunday, delivering it to the congregation with all of the fervor and joy and intensity that this story deserves. And on that day, the pastor was delivering that timeless story on that lost son. And when he got to the point where the father sees his son returning and he races out to him to meet him, the minister said, throwing his arms wide open, the father said, and the little boy in the front row stood up and said, "You're grounded." And if we were honest, there's a part of us that wants to stand up and say that every time the pastor reads that story. "Young man, you're grounded." I mean, come on, really? Isn't that what we want to say? I mean, if there was a kid who blew it, this kid blew it. I mean, he blew it. I mean, he wasted everything. I mean, he made a mess out of everything. He dishonored his family name. He just blew it. And we're right to sit out there and want to say, "Young man, you're grounded." But that's not what we get. And so we sit here and we look at that father figure in that story and we end up scratching our head. We go, who is this guy? I mean, yeah, it's one thing to welcome the kid back home, but to throw a party? for such a screw up? I mean, come on. You're grounded, young man. Yeah, welcome home, but go to your room for a while. And so we get this story and we just don't know what to do with it. Luke 15, where this is at, is known as the lost and found chapter of the Bible. In it, Jesus tells three stories in a row, all about things that were lost and were found. All three of them familiar stories. We seldom realize that they're stacked one on top of the other. The first one's a story of a shepherd who goes out to his field, and that shepherd begins to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 78, 79, 80. Where's 81? Where is sheep 81? What happened to sheep 81? Who knows where sheep 81 is? And on discovering where that sheep 81 isn't there, this shepherd will leave the other 99 sheep behind. He will go out to find that one lost sheep. And when that shepherd finds that one lost sheep, that shepherd will pick that sheep up. That shepherd will put that sheep around its neck. And that shepherd will carry that sheep back to the flock. And when he gets that sheep back to the flock, that shepherd will throw a party. He'll invite the whole neighborhood to come and celebrate the finding of this one sheep. If you do the math, the party costs more than the value of that one sheep. It's a crazy story. And then Jesus tells another story. He says, well, there's this woman who lost her nickel. She lost it. It slipped, fell away. And when she realized her nickel was missing, she started to look all over the house for it. She pulled up the couch cushion. She looked under the front chair. She pulled up the floorboard. She moved all of the furniture outside. It sounds like me looking for my keys this morning, right? And when she finally finds her one nickel, she runs out into the street and says, come on, everybody, over to my house. Let's have a party. I found my nickel. Lost sheep. Lost coins, and then the story of the lost son. And then Jesus always asked the question, which one of you wouldn't do the same? And that's when he gets us. That's when he gets us every time, because none of us would do that. It's not good economics. It's not good math. It makes no earthly sense at all. To leave the 99 behind in order to go get one? To tear up the floorboards? To destroy the house in order to find the one lost nickel? To welcome the deadbeat kid back into the house? Here's the good news. These stories aren't about us. They're about God. And God's ways aren't our ways. And thanks be to God for that. The lost and found. We have a lost and found bucket right out here in the hallway. I love lost and found buckets. Just a couple of weeks ago, our lost and found bucket got so overflowing that we kind of pulled it out to see all the cool stuff that was in there. Lost and found buckets are so interesting. For in lost and found buckets are things people didn't even realize they lost. Oh yeah, I forgot that about that. Or there's things when you walk by and go, if somebody doesn't claim that, I'm going to pretend it's mine. Right? Then there's these things in the lost and found bucket that never get claimed. There are things that stay in the lost and found bucket for years, just waiting for someone to claim it. People, we end up in the same thing, in the lost and found bucket. Sometimes wondering if anyone's ever going to come back by to claim us. I know you've found yourself in the lost and found bucket. I know I've been in the lost and found bucket. Waiting. Waiting and wondering if anybody is going to come by and claim us. And the good news of the gospel today is that God is not like us. And thanks be to God for that. But this is a God who goes to the end of the earth to find us, to grab us, to claim us, to name us, to bring us back home again. Some points from today's scripture that are interesting. It's a familiar story, so familiar we miss some of the details in it. It begins with this younger son. Maybe his name was Sam. Sam goes to his dad. You get it, right? I have a younger son, Sam. Okay, I just thought I'd... So this younger son goes to his dad and says, "Dad, I want my inheritance." What's he saying to his dad? "Drop dead, Dad. That inheritance that I'm supposed to receive when you die, I want it now. Dad, it would be better if you're dead to me. I want my inheritance, Dad. I want what I got coming to me. And the only thing standing in the way of coming to me is you. So if it'd be okay with you, just give it to me." In a sense, that's what that son is saying to his father, "Dad, drop dead. Give me what's mine. I want what's coming to me." One of those times in our life when we've said that to God, maybe not out loud, but maybe with our actions, "God, stay out of my life. Just give me what's mine and let me get on with my life. God, I'm done with you." Maybe it's been in moments after we've experienced some sort of hardship or loss or tragedy, when we've lost that loved one that made no sense to our lives, and we say, "God, I'm done with you. Give me my inheritance. Give me what's mine. I'm going to try to do this on my own." Maybe it was in our time in our life when we really felt we knew what was best for ourselves. "I'm going to try to do this on my own." We want our inheritance. Sure, the child in this story is arrogant, short-sighted, cocky. But again, the nature of the father is giving. "Here, go try it." You don't realize that until you're a parent. Sometimes your kid isn't going to learn something unless they learn it themselves. Everything you could do to prevent them from the heartaches that they're going to experience. You can't stop them from experiencing the heartaches, can you, Ed? Sometimes you got to let them experience it. You got to give them their inheritance. Then you got to wait at home, trusting they'll find their way back. Here's the cool thing about this story. It says when we claim that inheritance, we often end up in this faraway land, this distant place. We find ourselves far away from God. Have you ever felt far away from God, separated, wondering if you'll ever be able to wind your way back? The most important line, I think, in that whole part of that story is it says, "There came this moment when that young man came to his senses." He came back to himself. He realized he could not do it on his own. And so he turned around. And he faced his home again. And then there's this line about the father. He said, while his son was still a ways away. Don't you see? God doesn't even wait for us to get home. It's simply by turning ourselves back home, God comes out to get us. And welcome us back into God's good embrace. Coming back to our senses when we felt far away. My message today is for anyone who feels far away. If you feel far away from God today, I want you to know all you got to do is turn back. All you got to do is look back. All you got to do is say, God, I'm ready to come home. Will you be there to receive me? And there God is with open hands. One of the most important and powerful words in the whole Christian understanding of who God is the word reconciled. Remember that word, reconciled, reconnected, recreated, re-relationshipped together. Reconciliation means taking that which was broken and making it add up right again. To be reconciled. That's what this story is about. That it's never too late to find reconciliation. To find reconnection. To know you and I are God's children. And it doesn't matter how far we wander off. When we turn our eyes back towards home, there's a God who is ready to receive us. And it doesn't matter if we should be grounded. That God is there to throw a party when we show back up at the door. Did you notice that that story ends at the table? It ends at the table. He says to his servants, hey, my son is back. Run out, get him a clean robe, get him some new shoes, put a ring on his finger. He's basically saying to the whole town, can you imagine what the town said when that kid showed back up at the door? And then his dad treated him like that? Can you imagine what the town was saying? Oh, that fool. What's he doing welcoming that kid back? He's just going to happen to him all over again. It's like the time I wrecked my dad's car and then he let me drive it again a month later, right? You can see the neighbors going, why on earth is Dennis Nelson letting that kid drive again? It's a party. But it's not just any kind of party. If you were to read the book of Leviticus, which I know is your favorite book of the Bible to read, right? If you've ever tried to read the book of Leviticus, Don likes the book of Leviticus, but Don's a tax man, so he likes things that are litigious like that. But it's a heavy read because it's about these different kind of ceremonies that people enacted. And in it, there's a certain kind of ceremony that it talks about. It's called a ceremony of reconciliation. That when a reconciliation happened between you and God, you were supposed to go out and get a fatted calf, bring it, and sacrifice it. And it was the kind of sacrifice then that you invited the neighborhood in to enjoy the fruit of your sacrifice. And so this father isn't just throwing a lavish party to show off how much money he has. No, it is an act of worship to tell the community, this son of mine isn't just reconciled with me, he's reconciled with his God, and our family is one again. That's what this table's about today. So often we celebrate, I believe it, we celebrate this as a communal act. We do this together. Today it's about you. Today it's about me. Today it's about our own relationship with God. Today is that opportunity to recognize that we individually are reconciled. Do you get that? I mean, the father was already reconciled to the son before he came back. The father already knew he was going to take him in. He was just waiting for the son to come home. You're already reconciled to God. God's just waiting for us to come home.